Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Today's episode trigger warnings are violence, child abuse, talk of suicide, and explicit sexual content.
And I have a Apple review, and this one comes from Joshica55. And it says, best smut podcast ever. I've been listening to Smut Up and Listen for quite some time now, and I must say this is the best podcast for smut readers. It's funny, entertaining, and engaging. Every episode makes me feel like I'm hanging out with my friends. I also like that each host has different opinions on the book, so this helps me decide whether I would want to read or what I should anticipate from certain books. I'm not gonna lie, they're responsible for so many books in my Kindle. I like this podcast so much, I'm following them everywhere, on social media, not like Dark Romance, MMC. 10 out of 10 recommend for those who like casual, smutty, and fun podcasts.
Thank you.
That is such a nice review. Thank you so much.
What a darling.
And this week, we're telling Riley all about Devourer of Men by Nikki St. Crow, which is a spinoff of the Vicious Lost Boys series, which Jenna has not read, so she's going into this completely blind.
True story.
And how many stars did you guys give it on Goodreads?
I gave it a 4. I was happy to be back in the same universe, and I honestly think any type of male-on-male action is going to give it an automatic 4 stars for me.
Oh, right.
Yeah, as Jenna's heavy panting.
I gave it a 5-star. Loved it. Shelby, I am so surprised you did not give it at least a 4.5 star.
I wanted them to fuck more. Sorry.
I mean, you're not wrong. You are so not wrong. It was hot. Hot, hot, hot. We give it all we got. I'll be thinking about this for a very long time.
Jenna is besides herself.
I gave it a 4. I thought the plot to smut ratio was really good. I love the universe. I loved the Vicious Lost Boys. I love Hook. I love Rock. Yeah, it was good. Really good. Really, really good.
Why not a 5 then?
I don't know. I've been stingy with my 5s lately.
Hook steps foot on Everland for the first time in a really long time. It stinks of soot, piss, and the energy is all off. So you know how the islands have their own magic and their own energies? Well, something weird's going on at this one.
Mm-hmm.
He tells Cherry to stay on the ship and leaves a handful of men there with her. The dockmaster tells them that the island is the way it is because of the witches, and he pays the dockmaster for a week to dock the ship before taking off to go find what he's looking for. Before he arrived, Smee confirmed that Wendy was in Everland and in the Hightower prison, but he has doubts that she's still in prison after all this time. But before he confirms it, he has to formulate a plan. He goes to an inn called the Royal Suit, and he gets a room for the night, and he is very homesick, and he thinks about how the crocodile, aka Rock, could have beat him to Wendy already. It's been 7 days now. He's visited countless taverns and has almost no money left, and no one has ever heard of a Wendy darling. He gets back to his room at the Royal Suit, and just before he opens the door, he steps on crushed peanut shells, and now he's paranoid. Because remember, Rock would pop those in his mouth all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, imagine him at a Texas Roadhouse.
He'd love it there.
Crazy. Oh.
He opens his door, but his room is empty, and he tells himself that when he sees Rock, he's going to kill him and be done with it. He tries to stay up all night waiting because he knows he's going to show up for him, but at some point, exhaustion takes over. Rock has 0 issues getting into Hook's room. He watches Hook sleep in the chair.
As I sailed here, I plotted all of the ways I'd make Captain Hook scream. But now that I'm standing in front of him, a scream doesn't seem quite as satisfying as a moan.
Oh.
And they were boys.
And they were mortal enemies.
He takes a seat and waits for Hook to wake up. Once Hook wakes around midnight, he sees Rock immediately firing a shot with his gun, but misses him. He steps closer to Rock and sees the bulge in his pants, and then he sits back down in his chair.
He says, oh, I am sat.
He admits to Rock that Wendy isn't here and he's gotten zero leads, but that's funny to Rock because he already has a clue and he hasn't even been on the island that long. He learned last night from a girl that her great-grandmother spent time in a tower cell with Wendy Darling. Rock is supposed to meet her for more information in 1 hour. He gets up to leave, but Hook stops him, begging to join. Rock agrees and they set off to a tavern called the Tipping Well. When they arrive at the tavern, Rock tells him there are rules at this tavern. Behave, do not drink the wine, and never say thank you.
Okay, hold on. I'm sorry. But these two guys, mortal enemies.
Yes.
And then Hook just sees that Rock has a bulge in his pants and he's like, okay, yeah, we can work together.
Well, I don't know if you remember from the last book. They're mortal enemies, but there was like slight sexual tension between the two.
Yes, I do remember that. Mm-hmm.
And they're both looking for the same person anyway, so why not team up?
I mean, yeah. True. Yeah.
Yeah.
He winks at me, swats me on the ass, and steps inside.
Oh, you.
Imagine hating someone so much, and then they just smack you in the ass.
Yeah, and you have, like, all this sexual tension between you. Like, I just
make out with them.
Yeah, what a mix of emotions. It's like, come here.
Get away from me.
Kiss me, though.
But come here.
Get away.
Once they're inside, Hook immediately feels funny, and he describes it as everything feels super good, and he is just really calm, but like
euphoric.
Yes, thank you. That's a great word.
Oh my God, give me that feeling.
Go to this bar.
All right.
They find a table, get their food order placed, and he can't help but notice how sexy Rock is. And he's like, okay, he was already sexy before, but like something is going on because he's even more sexy right now. Rock explains the fey magic in the tavern is making him feel this way, but once Hook eats a second portion of his food, the fey magic should slowly subside. He is still mesmerized by Rock and how attractive he is to him, and Rock starts making some sexual innuendos until the girl arrives. The girl tells them about her grandmother's time in prison and how Wendy was meant to be executed but refused to die by hanging, so the Viscount took her to his house. He's dead now and she has completely disappeared. The girl described it as on the hanging block or whatever, once it like opened and she fell down, her neck didn't snap. She just like sat there and struggled and just didn't die.
For like an hour, they said.
Oh my God.
Yeah. They ask if she knows anything else and she says that she does if Rock wants to take her back to her room.
The captain is now glaring at her. Please accept my apologies. I reach across the table and pat her hand. I plan on fucking him tonight, so I must decline.
Oh my God.
Hook is like, what? Oh my God.
Me?
Hook is blushing and he's like, what? No, no, that's not happening.
You're not fucking me. What?
No. The girl leaves them and they agree that it's odd Wendy survived a hanging as a mortal, because remember, she's mortal. She doesn't have any magic whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And that they should look into the Viscount's death. They leave and they walk aimlessly down the street when Hook is hit with a club and three men try to rob them. It was a mistake though, because Rock gets to feast on these three men because his time was taken.
Ooh.
Hook handles one of them but gets knocked down with a knife and he panics at the sight of his own blood. I also don't know if you remember that from the last books.
Yes, I like vaguely remember that.
But Rock grabs him and puts his mouth onto his, breathing life into him until there's no pain or panic. Hook is shocked, and as soon as Rock opens his mouth to suggest they leave, Hook takes advantage and starts kissing him passionately.
Hug.
And they were boys.
Rock breaks the kiss, saying that they need to go since there are three dead men by their feet. Hook suggests his room, and Rock says,
when's the last time you had a cock in your ass? He scoffs. Why does that matter? You know why.
'Cause I'll be fucking it.
Yeah. That's what he's saying. His expression softens with embarrassment. It's been a while, he admits. As I thought, I'll go easy on you then. I let go of his balls and he sighs with relief. You will be panting my name by the end of the night. Oh my God.
They get back to Hook's room and Rock lets him take the lead. He tells Rock that he wants to fuck his face, so Rock immediately gets on his knees. He undoes his trousers and strokes himself before Rock demands that he gets over there. He gets an amazing blowjob and then Rock grabs his balls.
I'm going to nut in his fucking mouth. My mortal enemy, and he's going to take it because I'm going to make him. I'm gonna nut in his fucking mouth.
Do it.
He does, and Rock swallows every drop of it. When he's done, he looks down to see that he's bleeding again, and he faints. How embarrassing.
Literally.
That is very embarrassing.
Grow up.
Rock carries him to bed, and that's when he notices that Hook bleeds black, so he has a secret of his own. He gets materials to sew the wound, and he wakes Hook up and gets to work sewing him. He asks why Hook bleeds black, and Hook tells him that a witch cursed him after his father caught him with a servant. Rock finishes and tells him to rest, and they'll find Wendy eventually. And then Rock leaves to go eat some more because, again, time's up. He's gotta eat something. Hook is jolted awake from Rock kicking the bed. He tells Hook he was followed back to the room and they need to hurry and get dressed, grab anything of importance before these people can catch them. Hook hesitates too long and then the door bursts open and the Everland Royal Guard comes in, handcuffing them both.
Now,
they're tossed into a carriage and chained up, and Hook is fucking pissed. They are being taken to the castle where they will meet the queen. They get escorted to her receiving room where she waits in shadow so they can't see her, and now Rock knows who she is. She steps out of the shadow and they're both shocked to see Wendy Darling is the Queen of Everland.
A bitch. Good for her.
Wendy Darling is quaking that they're here. There's only two people in this entire court that she trusts. It's Theo and Asha. And Asha told her not to go through with this. And looking at these two men, she knew Asha was right. But sis had to see it for herself, because remember, Rock and James, my notes I put James, but it's Hook, are mortal enemies. Rock took James's hand for literally touching Wendy. So she's like, there's no fucking way that they're here together. She knows that she must get them out of Everland without Holly seeing them. So she tells them that Wendy Darling is dead and to basically kick rocks and to leave. Internally, she has so many questions. Like, where's Peter Pan, the Lost Boys, the Darling Women, and her baby?
Yeah, I was gonna say, girl, what about your baby?
Your baby's an old woman now.
That baby's dead. That's like Wendy's great-great-grandma or whatever.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That bitch is dead.
That bitch is long gone.
Rest in peace.
She tells Theo to escort them off this soil. And Hook is drooling over seeing Wendy Darling again. She's hot, sexy, and a fucking queen. As they're on their way to the docks, they run into none other than the crowned prince, who is Holly. So he's basically Wendy's stepson. He's the epitome of an antagonist in the story, and his character reminds me of Prince Joffrey from King of Thrones.
Yes. Ew, boo.
I was reading this and I was just picturing a little blonde bitch.
Literally a bitch.
Knowing Wendy wanted these two men off the soil, he told Theo that they are now guests of this castle and they are to join them for dinner tonight and to stay the night. Not being able to refuse the prince, they have no other choice but to go along. Wendy finds her bestie Asha and is just venting after seeing Rock and James. And she was just surprised that they were surprised that she was there, as if they didn't know that she was the queen or where she was. But still, the sting of betrayal lies because she's thinking about how they abandoned her here at Everland. And she'll never have the answer on why, because she just sent them off the soil. But Asha's like, oh, well, I just saw Holly walking towards the docks, and she just gets up and starts booking it because she knows that Holly's a fucking evil bitch. So there's a little court drama because there's a circulating rumor that Holly and Wendy are having an affair because they look the same age and are often seen together in shadowed alcoves. But in real life, they're like whispering at each other like, I fucking hate you, die bitch. But like, obviously people don't know that. She had no choice in the marriage with King Hald, which is her husband, and he basically said, marry me or die. But now he's literally dying, and she's in a dog-eat-dog world by herself. She pulls herself together after racing after him and walks into the room where her stepson is. He tries twisting the story of Rock and James visiting her in front of the entire assembly that's watching them. He says that those two men visited her private rooms earlier this morning, and she's like, the ones that I just had the captain of the guard kick out? So he's trying to make her look bad in front of the entire assembly.
Ew, what a little punk.
Rock is in his room when James tries to enter, but Rock has him locked out. When James finally enters, James is frustrated as fuck and is hella bratty that he didn't get his way and get let in right away.
And a bratty captain has me feeling feelings I'd rather not feel, like the desire to throw him onto the bed and blow that frustration right off his face. Innuendo fucking intended. Boys, come on now.
He wants to give some sloppy toppy, dude.
James and Rock start talking business, and they both agree on one thing. Wendy is afraid of something, and it isn't one of them. They decided that they're going to scope out things at dinner and try to get a better picture of what's going on, because there's something hella fishy. Wendy's in the king's chambers, begging King Hall to wake up, because she feels like prey caught in a web, and none other than Holly comes in. So we get a little bit of a backstory. When Wendy married Hall, Holly and Wendy were the same age, as we know, and King Hald was twice Wendy's age and chronically ill. Then Hald recovered and stopped aging. And that's when whispers began that she was either a witch or he struck a deal with the Fae.
Mm.
The king tried saying that he was marked by the gods, even though Holly never stopped believing that she was a witch. But she didn't care because King Hald was going to outlive him. And then all of a sudden, Holly stopped aging too.
Damn it.
So we're back to the present. Holly's telling her that he heard her pathetic pleading. And he's like, it's because you're a girl. That's why you can't run. You're not meant to rule. And she's like, okay. You're a bitch. Your dad literally made me heir to the throne. He like rearranged rules. And he's like, my dad was crazy. That's why. Wendy and Asha are sparring. And as Wendy is distracted, Asha ends up whacking her right in the face, causing her to get a black eye. It crushes into Asha's knuckles. And silently, Wendy takes Asha's injured hand in hers and conjured up some healing magic.
Oh, Wendy.
So the secret power is what got her to become queen. She literally hung, like we said, for over an hour, not dying, because she kept healing herself over and over again.
Oh.
And then King Hald made her a deal to become his wife and for her to dedicate her power to only him, and he would make her queen. She healed him for decades until one day it just stopped working, and then within days he was bedridden, and then within weeks he was comatose.
Ugh. Sad.
Hook is the first one to arrive for dinner and is met with the prince and his betrothed, Lady Mareth Shade. What a weird name. She's a little demure thing, but looks hella familiar to him, and for the life of him, he could not place it. She tells him that he must have her mistaken with someone else, but he has this nagging feeling that even though he can't place it, he just feels like he knows her from somewhere. But Rock literally knows everyone and their mama, so maybe he'll just get to the bottom of it once he sees her. Wendy arrives to dinner, and we find out that her new queen name is Queen Wendolyn, because they had to kill off Wendy, darling, due to it being tied to Peter Pan. And her being guilty by association if she was still known as Wendy Darling.
Fair enough.
King Hald went as far as forging documentation, changing her name, saying that she was a distant cousin of a queen, which made her fit to marry him. And then finally, James walks in to dinner, and he's looking like a damn snack.
James makes the required greetings, and then he spotted me at the head of the hall, and the way he looks at me, it's like he spotted land for the first time in ages. My heart kicks up again. Butterflies fill my stomach. He makes his way to me with determination. Your Majesty, he bows. I notice his arms are still clasped behind him, hiding his hook. Does he worry about frightening me? When we were together, he had both hands, and by the gods, did he know how to use them. James's touch was always gentle, warm, and passionate. By contrast, Rock's touch was bruising and possessive. If I were a respectable girl, I would say I preferred James's touch, but I am not.
No, you're not, girl.
She's a slut.
Just like her granddaughter.
Yeah.
James goes to take his seat next to the empty king seat, and Wendy's like, girl, if Holly's playing power moves, then so can I. So she's like, the king is literally in a coma and is obviously not going to be joining us for dinner. Please remove his chair so there's not an unnecessary gap between me and my guests. Holly's eyes literally twitching with anger, but the servants do as she says, and James moves next to her.
Are you being treated well? I ask him. He licks his lips. I remember kissing them. I remember the tender way his mouth met mine, the hungry way his tongue took a taste of me. For the first time in a very long time, there's a flash of heat between my legs, and it catches me so off guard. I blush.
Slutty.
He's making her pussy wet.
Yeah.
When she asks where Rock is and he doesn't immediately know, she's a little relieved because she was a little envious of the thought of them two bumping uglies without her. But then, to prove her theory wrong, Rock walks in and James's entire body language changes, and she's like, oh, hell no. Then James tells her, he's like, damn, he looks good in his suit. And she's like, well, I'll be damned.
They really are.
They make it through 5 courses, and then Rock asks her for a little dance.
Also, like, immediately, if he was like, oh, he looks good in his suit, if I was her, I would have been like, oh, you guys fucking?
Oh, but, like, imagine you have 2 ex-boyfriends, and then, like, they start fucking.
Hot.
Like, ugh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Let me just get in the middle here. During their intimate dance, Rock wishes to know what Wendy's afraid of, and she tells him he hasn't earned the right to know. When he asks why, she tells him straight up that he abandoned her when Pan left her here.
Is that what you believe? With my hand firmly in his, I spin out to the center of the circle with all the other women, and then Rock twirls me back in. I asked you to stay, he says. You refused me. You cut off James's hand. If a hand touches what's mine, then the hand is mine too, and you were mine first. There is still a smile on his beautiful mouth, but the look in his eye has turned dark. He's got a point.
Yeah, he does.
When she turns the narrative and asks about him and James, he tells her she hasn't earned his secrets either.
Yeah.
She demands to know if he's with him, and he tells her jealousy does not become her.
Ew. I'd say, fuck you. Tell me.
But he's like flirting. He's like, oh, you're jealous, Pookie?
That'd piss me right off. I'd say, you think that's funny?
Rock is taken back that Wendy thinks that she's been abandoned here, and Peter Pan left out the very convenient detail that he did in fact not take her home to the mortal realm and left her in Everland. After the jealousy comment to Wendy, darling, she ran away dramatically, and James asked what he said to upset her. He tells her that she's just jealous of them two, and they end up coming with a little plan. James is to go console Wendy while Rock tries to find some information about what's going on in the castle. He goes to a place that has the most information, and it's the help. He meets a servant and pays her with a fairy bar, and she's reluctant to talk, but finally starts yapping. She tells him all the tea of the castle about how the king stopped aging when Wendy first became queen, how the prince stopped as well, and the rumors of the affair. And then the king started dying, and the king changed the royal code and made Wendy the heir. He's like loving the gossip. He's like, oh, shut up. No way. So everyone thinks that Wendy is a witch, and as she's like babbling on and on about theories, he hears a steady heartbeat of someone eavesdropping. He quickly and quietly tiptoes towards it and pops out in the hallway, but there's no one there.
Hook is wandering the castle looking for Wendy and Rock when he stumbles across the prince and his fiancé arguing. She's pissed that he'd invite Rock and Hook without consulting her first, and now Hook is like, damn, maybe she's not as meek as I originally thought. Because when they first encountered her, she was very much like, yes, sir, if it pleases you, sir. And now she's like arguing back.
Yeah, girl. Get him.
And the prince is like, well, what do you want me to do? And she says, go tend to your dying father and leave the guests to me. Hook sneaks off and goes to Rock's room and walks in without knocking. Rock has just gotten out of the shower and is dripping wet with just a towel on. Hook ignores his raging boner and tells him what he just overheard. And then he tells Rock to put some clothes on, and Rock is like, okay, hold on. And he drops his towel. Hook is like, quit toying with me. We're here for Wendy, not for us. And Rock is like, por qué no los dos?
Yeah, honestly, why not both?
Hook is like, there is no us. And Rock tells him to tell that to his boner then. He tells Hook to shut the door and he obeys. So Rock tells him he's a good boy. They crash together in a wild kiss and Hook grabs Rock's dick.
I squeeze him at the base, then stroke downward, bringing my thumb over his wet slit. He breaks the kiss, grabs my hand, and shoves my thumb into his mouth so I can taste him. He's salty and sharp.
Salty and sharp.
Like cheddar.
Oh, pungent.
Rock throws him onto the bed and they start rubbing weenies while he probes Hook's butthole.
Rubbing weenies.
They are rubbing weenies.
It's like scissoring, but for boys.
Yeah, they're just smushing them together.
Nice.
What a visual.
Hot. Go slow, I warn him. I know how to fuck a tight ass, Captain.
Yes, sir.
He leans over me, reaching into the small drawer of the bedside table. As he does, his cock presses into me, and a burning, raging desire has me gasping out of breath. I lift my hips and fist us both. Oh, like grabs their dicks. I was like, excuse me. No. And the crocodile hisses in response. He freezes halfway over top of me, his hands still on the bedside table. Keep going, he tells me, his voice a deep rasp. I jerk us both, and his dick swells in my grip as he huffs out a desperate breath.
Oh my goodness.
Then Rock brings out a bottle of lube, and Hook tells him to do it. Bang his butt.
Yeah. Bang his butt.
Then he flips me over onto my stomach and I clutch at the twisted blanket, losing myself in the sway of the wave as the crocodile, my mortal enemy, presses his cock into my ass.
Enemies to lovers.
Meanwhile, Wendy has been hiding in her secret room from all the drama when Asha comes in and tells her Rock was snooping around the kitchens asking questions. She decides to find the men and figure out why the hell they came after her after all this time. She goes to Hook's room, but it's empty, so she tries Rock's. She hears grunting and thinks someone is fighting in there, but when she opens the door, Rock is balls deep in Hook.
Yeah. Oh my god. Yeah.
What would you do?
Yeah, what would you do?
I'd be like, hey. Don't mind me. I'm just gonna make sure everyone's
safe. I got a few holes.
Rock tells her to close the door and either join them or watch from the chair. She's hella soaked and also very confused. She's like, how about I leave? And Rock is like, no. Hook gets up and grabs her hair, kissing her fiercely, and tells her he's missed her so much. And if he knew she was here with his child, he would have saved her or died trying. Because remember, the child was Hook's.
Oh, yeah.
He's sorry he didn't come, but he's here now. Then they start passionately kissing again, and her silk nightie falls off her shoulder, so he takes a boob into his mouth. She looks behind Hook and sees Rock standing there watching them, and she wants them both right here, right now. Hook slides her panties off and slams into her as Rock tells him not to go easy on her. They're fucking hard, and Rock grabs his trusty bottle of lube.
I stroke my cock from base to head until it's rock hard and soaked. I get in behind the captain, and as soon as he senses the heat of my cock, he slows his thrusting, widening his stance to give me his ass. I'm so eager to stretch him, open again. Pre-cum is already beating at the tip. The captain and I weren't able to finish, not before Wendy Darling burst into my room. Perfect fucking timing, because now I get to watch her come while the captain comes, while his ass tightens around me and I fill him up.
The human centipede.
Yeah.
As he slides into Hook's ass, he thinks to himself he wasted so much time hating this man when he could have just been fucking him instead. He shoves his fingers into Hook's mouth and uses the spit as lube to rub Wendy's clit, which makes her come hard.
And when he spills inside of her, his breathing heavy and stilted, there's nothing in the world that could stop me from joining him. I'm so fucking ready to fill him up, one hand wrapped around his throat, the other on his hip. I drive into his tight, wet ass and spill a load so fucking big, it'll be dripping out of him for days.
Days.
That'd be so much cum.
After they all clean up, Wendy falls asleep and the guys have a drink together, and Rock tells Hook taking his hand is his biggest regret. He was afraid Wendy would leave him for Hook, and he just reacted out of that fear. Hook starts to think about how he's starting to care for this monster, and his father's voice plays in his head telling him he's a stain on the family name, so he gets up and says he needs some air. Wendy wakes up a while later to Rock, and they start talking about how she can't age or die. She says she doesn't know why, and he tells her he has a theory. Just as he's about to tell her, they hear bells, and she's like, oh no, the king is dead. They rush into the hallway and find Asha and Theo, who tell her she needs to get into hiding now. As they're getting her to a secret passageway, Theo thumps Asha on the head, knocking her out cold.
The betrayal.
Two-timing bitch. He grabs Wendy and brings her down to the dungeons, telling her he's sorry, but she paid him more than Wendy ever could. And we don't know who she is.
Is it that cunt-ass stepson's wife?
I don't know. Is she a cunt?
Because she said, let me handle the guests.
I don't know. Hook is caught up in the commotion looking for Wendy and Rock when he runs smack dab into the prince's fiance. She's holding a sacred dagger to defend herself and accidentally slices his arm. She sees black blood ooze out and orders the guards to seize this evil man. Rock is also caught up in the chaos and sees Asha lying unconscious on the ground. He shakes her awake and asks what happened, and she's like, Theo hit me in the head and I think he took Wendy to the dungeons. Wendy is about to be thrown into a cell, but she's using the training she's gotten from Asha and takes down two guards before grabbing one of their daggers and lunging for Leo. Somehow, Hook escaped being taken and is running through the village. It's mayhem, and he sees a young boy crying and alone. And I think it's like a toddler boy.
Oh.
He scoops the boy up and helps him find his mother, who rips off her own necklace, giving it to him, telling him he's a good man who did a good deed. And I guess when he was a child, his dad used to tell him, if you do a bad deed, your blood will be black because you're a bad person.
Oh, Oh.
So as he looks at the star pendant, her voice repeats in his head, telling him he's a good man and he has an idea. He finds a knife, cutting his arm to see what happens. His blood is still black, and now he knows that his father lied. His blood is black regardless if he's a bad man or a good man. He runs back to the castle to find Wendy and Rock, and he runs into the prince's fiance again, and this time he recognizes her. She looks different, but this is the witch in the woods his father brought him to. So this is the witch that cursed him as a child.
Oh my god.
She leads him to a room in the castle where she gets him a drink and tells him she received a prophecy after being kicked out of Lost Land that the way home is by the Hook. When Hook's father brought him to see her as a child, she was like, okay, they have something to do with that, and she gave Hook some of her magic. Then he impregnated Wendy, which also gave Wendy some of her magic as well. So that's why Wendy can't die and she can heal.
Oh my god.
Because of Hook's cum.
Magic cum.
Powerful.
Then the room gets fuzzy and he falls. His drink was spiked and she says, sorry, Captain Hook, but I want my magic back if I'm gonna help the myth makers try to take over all 7 of the Isles. So she's got some evil mastermind plan.
She's part of a cult.
See? I knew she was a cunt.
Meanwhile, Wendy is losing her fight with Theo. She asks why he's doing this, and he says Marith, the prince's fiance, paid him and she wants power. He stabs her in the shoulder, but then Rock comes in and snaps Theo's neck. Wendy, Rock, and Asha all skedaddle out of the dungeons to go find Hook. They find him swaying on his feet in the foyer with Marith and the prince, and Marith tells Rock that Hook isn't leaving until he gives her the power back. She pulls out her sacred dagger from earlier and says, unfortunately, he can't live and also give it back. But Rock lunges for her, taking out a bunch of the guards, and he starts to transform into his monster self. Yeah. When he's fully in his monster form, he swallows Marith whole.
Hell yeah.
And then every single guard who tries to stop him. So he is just chowing. Yeah, he's got an all-you-can-eat buffet right now. He transforms back into a human and collapses on top of Hook as the prince lunges for them with his sword. Hook shimmies out from under Rock, grabs Marith's dagger, and stabs the prince until he's dead. Hook knows Rock will be unconscious for a few days and tells Wendy and Asha they all need to get on his ship. They all carry Rock's body to the docks, and the ship is there with Cherry aboard. Wendy and Cherry hug since they were friends before, and Hook tells his crew to sail anywhere but Neverland. Then, Rock, Wendy, and Hook all curl up into bed to sleep off their crazy day. A few days later, Rock wakes up while Wendy and Hook are fast asleep, and he eats one of Hook's crew members, because he woke up hungry.
He had to.
Hook wakes up to the commotion and screams that Rock cannot do that, but Rock is saying that something is wrong. Hook tries to grab Rock's arm, but he's incorporeal for some reason and slides right through Hook's grip. Rock says they need to find Vane right away and they have to sail to Neverland. The end.
Oh my god. Now we have to do the next one.
We must.
Oh my god. At the T.
So Riley, how many red pepper emojis do you give this one?
I think I give this one a 4.5. I really liked it.
Yeah. Who's sexier, Rock or Hook?
Honestly, Rock, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think so,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, same.
He's just so manly.
Yeah. I'm gonna fucking ass.
Would you trade places with Wendy?
This one doesn't sound as fun as, like, Winnie's, you know?
Oh, Winnie was getting it.
Yeah, she was, like, having
Winnie
a blast.
Winnie was getting gangbanged, like,
who
every
was
day.
Winnie?
You have to read it.
She gets kidnapped, and her immediate reaction is, like, you wanna fuck?
Love that.
Literally.
Oh, my god. Oh.
All right, so next week, we're telling Riley all about Red Rabbit by Devin Rivers. And we're going to have her look at the cover and give us her best guess on what it might be about. I will say that if you are planning on listening to that episode, please heed the triggers. It is very trigger heavy.
Yeah, it's like a whole page of trigger warning.
I don't fucking know. It's a cover. Obviously.
Yeah, it is.
And it says, you shatter so beautifully. It looks like blood or red paint all over it. And there's like a red rabbit on it. I think this one will be a human book. Humans only.
Or rabbits.
Or rabbits. Yeah, rabbit people, if you will. It looks dark to me. Also, last time we recorded, you said this was worse than Hunting Adeline, I'm pretty sure. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah, this is darker than Hunting Adeline, IMO.
So I think we're going to have a female main character. She's going to be broken. She's going to be battered and abused. And she's going to meet this man. And this man is not going to be necessarily a good person. He's going to be a man that does bad things. and she is going to get into cahoots with this man. She's not going to do bad things. Maybe she will. I don't think she will, though. And they're going to fuck, but he's going to be kind of like, I know we all love the bad romance, but sometimes they're like low-key abusive. But that's how he's going to be to her. But she's going to love him either way. But there's going to be an event that tears them, not necessarily tears them apart, but there's going to be an event that kind of decides their fate. You know, he's going to have to do something really bad. She's going to be like, oh my God, I can't be a part of this. She's going to get sucked into it. But they are going to live happily ever after. Maybe not happily, but they'll stay together because they're trauma bonded. How did I do?
Well, you were very vague, which helped you.
Yeah. I'm learning.
And I mean, I'm only 25% in and you were pretty spot on. So.
Yeah, I will say you were close adjacent.
I'll take it.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe.
Follow us on Instagram at smutupandlistenpodcast and on TikTok at smutupandlisten.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.